Well, good afternoon. Once again, we're in a message series entitled Four Things You Need to Know. Four things, just four things. And we've been looking at this message series as a four-part story. We started several weeks ago and we talked about the beginning, Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. Then we talked about the problem. Any good story has that second part. There's the problem. There's the angst, the anxiety. There's the rub. And that was the fall of man. Then last week, we started talking about the solution, which we'll finish that today. And next week, the next 2 weeks, in fact, we're going to talk about the ending. And I want to encourage you to invite someone. We're going to be talking about the redemption that Jesus gave us, the restoration, the end of the story. And we all know we all need to be redeemed. We need to be restored. And maybe you have someone in your life, a friend, a loved one, that needs to hear the story of redemption and restoration. I know as the Holy Spirit leads us over the next 2 weeks that we're going to speak a message that could probably change someone's life. In fact, it will. So I would encourage you this week to pray about who you can invite. Invite someone to hear the ending of the story. Now today we're going to pick up our story again with a solution. And there's three major reasons why we have to have a solution. It's because we've got some big problems. Everybody say big problems. Look at the person next to you and say, man, you got big problems, man. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for the opportunity to be under the sound of your word. And Lord, I pray today that we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to each and every one of us. Wherever we are in the walk of life, in our marriage, with our work, with our future marriage, maybe our past marriage, wherever we are, Father, I thank you. You meet us and you come to us, Father, with your grace, with your mercy, perhaps with instruction, insight. And Lord, today I thank you. We're going to respond to you and we're going to leave changed in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. The fall created three major problems. Now, there are more, but for our study, we're looking at three. The first problem of the fall, the consequences of Adam and Eve eating of that tree that God forbid them not to eat of, the first one was that they lost their righteousness. And because of that, now they are in an unrighteous state, which is where we are today. The second problem that we all have that Adam and Eve created because of their choice was separation. They walked and they communicated and they had a very intimate relationship with God. And because of the sin, because of the problem, now there's a separation. In fact, Scripture tells us that God evicted them out of the garden. And from that day on, we had to have someone to go into the presence of God for us. Then we have the third problem, which is the death problem. We were not designed by God to be able to handle death, all right? So let's talk about the solution, and we don't have to go any further and say what the solution is, and it's Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. God sent his son, his one and only son, to come and reverse the consequences of the sin that expired in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3 as a consequence of their sin. And in John chapter 3, verse 16, this is the turning part of the story. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say gave. This is the verb of the Bible. If you want to be more like God, then I would encourage you every day to be a giver. Give your life away. Give everything that you have at your disposal away. You will be more like God than anything else. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, there's the death problem, but have everlasting or eternal life. When Jesus entered the world, it was the turning point of this story. Because Jesus is the solution to all three of those problems. It's similar to the point of the story in Rambo, one of my favorite movies. Come on, somebody, show a little Rambo love here, all right? Yeah. It was in the second Rambo when he was a prisoner of war, and they were trying to get him to denounce or curse the USA. And they have his hands tied behind his back, and there's some mean guys with guns pointed on his face. And there's this old school looking microphone right there in front of him. It's silver, and it's got that old school 50s looking head on the top of it. And they're trying to get him to tell his sergeant, whose name is who? Come on, you missed it. Murdoch. So Murdoch's on the radio, and they're like, tell him. He's not coming to get you. Curse the USA. And Rambo hears Murdoch's voice, and he knows that Murdoch turned his back on him. He grabs that microphone with his hand. He squeezes it, and his biceps blow up, kind of like mine right now. Murdoch. Yes, Rambo. Is that you? Rambo, it's so good to hear your voice. Murdoch. What? I'm all ears, Rambo. You just give me your coordinates and we'll bring a helicopter in and get you, Rambo. We're here for you, Rambo. Murdoch. What, Rambo? Turning part of the story. Murdoch, I'm coming after you. And then he takes the microphone and kills about 20 Chinese people right there. I mean, you know, or whatever they are, Vietnamese people. It was the turning part of the story. And Rambo was the solution to the problem. But how do you know Jesus is much better than Rambo? Come on, somebody. Jesus is the solution to every problem we'll ever face in our world. Every problem we'll ever face. If you're taking notes, which I hope you are, write this one down. Jesus is the solution to our unrighteousness problem. Jesus is the solution to my unrighteousness problem. I am unrighteous, which means that I stand guilty before God. And several weeks ago, we talked about the moment when Adam and Eve lost their innocence. They lost their righteousness. And the way that I explained it, and I'll explain it again, was that they were no longer acceptable the way they were before God, because sin entered into the equation. Sin, at that moment, before they sinned, sin was external. And because they chose to eat of the tree, now sin became in their heart. And because of that, it put them in an unrighteous state, because nothing unrighteous can stand in the presence of a righteous God, which tells me that there's your problem. And nothing that we can do on our own can even attempt to clean us up so that we could be righteous or acceptable before God. Isaiah 64 explains it this way. He says that our righteousness, what we can bring to the table, if you will, is about as good as dirty, rotten, smelling dish rags. I don't know about you, but you ever smelt the dirty, rotten dish rag lately? I mean, it doesn't smell that good. Now, that's one of my pet peeves. In fact, yesterday, I was looking for something in one of our taller cabinets, and I found 6 brand new dish rags. It was like I found gold up there. I hate dirty dish rags. I hate them because they smell. They represent something that I don't want in my life. Several weeks ago, I was getting me some coffee, and it was dark in the kitchen, and the sun wasn't up yet, and somehow I stumbled across, and I hit the back of my hand on a dirty dish rag. First off, I got mad. Who left this dish rag out, you know? And I grabbed it, and I threw it across the room towards the laundry room, you know, and I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, asking God to help this crazy Cajun boy. Lord, please let me have grace today. I need you. And I kept smelling something dirty. I'm like, man, what is that smell? And I thought, man, this God's here. I mean, he's about to take this dirty smell away, and I'm about to smell the fragrance of heaven. I mean, like, what? I'm getting into it. You know, like, God, here I am. I'm just dirty, and Lord, just take that smell away. And I ran my hand by my face, and I realized it was on the back of my hand. So I got up, and I stumbled into the kitchen, and I washed my hand off, and I kept on praying. And I kid you not, about 2 hours later, I started smelling that smell again, and it was still on the back of my hand. And according to Isaiah, that is comparable to our righteousness. And that's a problem, because the only way I can be in the presence of God is to be clean. And on my best day, I cannot even attempt to be clean enough to be acceptable before the Lord. Smelly, dirty dish rags. Come on, that's gross. We desperately need a solution. All humanity needs a solution. And what did God do? God presented himself. This is an amazing part of the story. All throughout the Old Testament, God explains himself with his name. And God can't just have one name. He's God. I mean, he's so much. You have to have multiple names to explain who God is. And one of the names that God describes himself as is our Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah, which means Lord. He is the Lord. And Tsidkenu is a Hebrew word which means the one who makes me righteous, the one who makes me straight. And you put them together, and it means the Lord, my righteousness. Now, as a dad, I have many different details. I have a lot of job descriptions based upon what hat I need to wear. Sometimes I put on the cooking hat. I'm the chef. And I'm just sitting there just hammering it out. Filet mignon and eggs over easy and boom. Sometimes I'm a counselor. And I put on my counseling jacket. I don't know what counselors wear. You know, I put it on and this is what you need to do. This is what you don't need to do. Tell that boy that. Tell that girl that. And, you know, and I'm just counseling. Sometimes I put on the hat. I'm the coach. I'm out there coaching and you run like this, you know, like Forrest Gump and you throw the ball like that. And most of the time I think my job description right now is just like an ATM teller. I'm just like, just handing out the money, you know. But with every hat I wear, it describes a certain part of who I am to my kids. And when you begin to understand how plural God is, you begin to see how amazing he is in your life. And this is just one of the aspects of who God is and what he wants to do for us. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, it's one of the messianic promises, which is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. And Jeremiah begins to speak about what Jesus is going to do whenever he comes to this earth. Now, I want you to read it with me. Jeremiah 23 in verse 6 says, "Now this is his name by which he will be called." In other words, this is how I can view God for me. He is the Lord, our righteousness. In other words, he will become my righteousness. And through the death of Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took the sin of the world upon him. And when we get saved, it's more than just a ritual or repeating after me on Sunday morning or a pastor. But that means the blood of Jesus covers our unrighteousness and makes us clean. Can I get an amen right there? So when God sees you, he doesn't see you in your unrighteousness that resembles a dirty dish rag, but rather he sees you wearing Jesus' righteous robe. I love how Isaiah explained it in chapter 61 and verse 11. "I am overwhelmed with joy." When I read that, I pressed pause because I had to make sure that was indicative of my salvation experience. Am I overwhelmed with joy right now about what God is doing in my life? And he said, "I'm overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. And here's why. For he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness." Wow. "And I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels." So here's the application. You wake up in the morning, and in your best attempt, in your best, you're still going to smell like dirty dish rags according to Scripture and your unrighteousness. But what we do, we take that off. Lord, I take off that robe of unrighteousness. And Lord, today I clothe myself with your Son's righteous robe. And Lord, when you look down from heaven at me, you're not viewing me in my unrighteousness, but you're viewing me right now with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are my Lord. You are my Jehovah Tsidkenu. You are my righteousness. And oh, by the way, it's not because we did the right thing. It's because Jesus did the right thing. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while I was still a sinner." In other words, when I was doing the wrong thing, Christ died for me. Christ did the right thing. You'll never see anyone in heaven beating their chest saying, "Oh, I'm righteous. Everything I did on earth got me to where I am today." Not at all. When you get to heaven, you'll get there and you'll instantly be so thankful that it was God's grace and mercy that got you there. Righteousness is a free gift, but it has to be received. See, in my bank account, and we all know what bank accounts look like. In my bank account, when it came to righteousness, mine was in the red. It was bad. The bank was calling me every day. But Jesus, because of his righteousness, he imputed, he put it into my account all the righteousness I could ever need. Amen. And that's why today we can be connected to Jesus, which leads me to point number two. Jesus is the solution to our separation problem. Jesus is the solution to my separation problem, and we all have it. Humanity was originally designed to spend eternity with God, but once again, as a consequence of the sin, we are now born separated from him. We're born separated from God. Now, when I was 5 and 6 years old, I had a separation problem. We'd go to the Mall of Cortana. Whoo, man, that was an awesome mall. It had a JCPenney's. It had a Sears. It had a Dillard's. It had a Spaceport where I played video games. It had the Champs, the first place where I bought my first pair of Air Jordans. Awesome, awesome 1970 model mall. But in front of all the anchor stores, there was fountains. And this particular day, my grandmother, my Mama B, her name is Beatrice Thibodeau. We called her Mama B. She was keeping me that day. She had to go into Dillard's for something. We got there a little early. We were in the mall, and I saw all those shiny coins in the fountains. I thought, you know what? I need some money because I lack a few items, and I saw them. If I get some money, then boom, I can get what I need. So I separated myself from my grandmother. Took off my shoes, took off my socks, took off my shirt, and I began to have a little swim party. I gathered all the coins that I could get. Sure enough, I come out of the water. My grandmother's standing right there, and she's like, "What in the world are you doing, Casey? What are you talking about, Mama B? Someone left all these coins down here, and I found them." She said, "You put those back in the water right now." And I told her, "No, they're mine." She said, "Well, you wait till I tell your dad." Of course, I told her, "Well, you wait till I tell my dad." She said, "Okay, we'll see how that one goes for you," because my dad believed in corporal punishment, you know? It didn't go that well for me. Another time we were walking through the mall, I believe I was with my mother at this time, and you don't see these that much anymore, but there was a big photo booth in the middle of this apartment store, and it had a green backdrop and a blue backdrop and the woods backdrop and snowy backdrop. You could tell them which one, and you got up there and you took pictures. And I begged my mom, "Please, please, let me take a picture. I look good today. You know, let me take a picture." She said, "No." So I separated myself from my mom. I went and got in the line, true story, I got in the line, and I convinced the lady to take my picture. And by the way, I still have that picture today, and I'm going to tell you, it's one of the best pictures I've ever taken, all right? And I convinced the lady that my mom was going to come and pay for it. I got up there, I had my little tube socks up to here, I had a little hat on, and I'm just sitting there taking a picture, yay! Then once I was brought back to my mom, it was not good for me, not good at all. Another time I was in the mall, I was with my grandmother. On another occasion, this was before they had those little backpacks that you put on kids and it's got that lead so they don't, I was the poster child for that. I saw this policeman, he had a real nice shiny instrument on his hip and I thought, wow, I'd like to touch that. As a matter of fact, I'd like to pull it out. So I did, I separated myself from my grandmother, I snuck up behind a police officer, you know, he's on duty at the mall like this, you know, I unclipped the pistol. I took the little, I unclipped it, and I pulled his pistol out of his holster. And I was waving around like, "Hey!" Look, that's not, it's not what you want to do, all right? Especially now. So my grandmother looked over at the policeman. She's like, didn't have to say a word. And he kind of ran his hands down my arm. He grabbed his pistol, and humbly he kind of walked away. But here's the best one. Here's the best one. I separated myself from my mom this one particular day at the mall, and I decided I needed a new set of clothes. So I went and got me a new pair of shoes, socks, underwear, shorts, and a shirt. I went into the dressing room, and I totally changed. And I went, the story's going to get better. I went and I stood in the window and acted like a mannequin for almost 3 hours. Yeah. When my mom finally found me, she beat me. Then she said, "Wait till we get home, because your dad is going to beat you." But it was the best 3 hours of my life. Now, separation is a big problem because here's why. Because when you're born with the default destination, H-E-double-L. Inside every person is this sin nature. And because of that sin, you're separated. And when you begin to breathe air on this earth, it kicks in. You are destined if you don't come in contact with Jesus Christ. Now, let me clear this up right here. God doesn't send one person to hell. Amen? Unforgiven sin does. And there are billions of people today that have unforgiven sin. And I pray that before they breathe their last breath, they come in contact with Jesus in his mercy and grace and have that sin forgiven. Because there's separation. There is a separation. That's why we do church the way we do. Our mission here at Key Point Church is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. Not participate in church, but we want to reach people that are separated, that are headed to a Christless eternity, and help them experience life, a full life in Jesus Christ. And if you have been found, in other words, you were separated from God at one time in your life, and you have embraced the grace and mercy of God, and you are a Christ follower, can I encourage you to help us reach out to people? Reach your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones that are far from God, that are separated, that have that problem that has not been solved. Ask the Lord to give you a passion for people that are separated, not because we're any better than them. I'm just thankful that at one time in my life, I was far off and separated, but if it had not been for his mercy and grace, I wouldn't be standing here today, amen? And because of that, I want to reach. We need to reach. This church, we need to reach, continue to reach. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about three parables. And the common thread within all three of these parables was that the owner lost something very valuable to them. One of the owners lost a coin, and they went to great lengths to find the coin. One owner lost a sheep, and he went to great lengths to find the sheep. And then, of course, a father lost a son. And in all three cases, the owner did whatever to remove the separation and get them back. And do you realize that's what God did for you and me? We were a long way off. We were lost. But Jesus, he bridged the gap and removed that separation between us. This is what Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 and 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off. And oh, by the way, if you are far off, in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be very close to Jesus, okay? Said you were far off, but now you have been brought near. How? By the blood of Jesus. You see how it just all works together. Now, in the Old Testament, in the temple, there was worship, and they had different places where people could go, but there was one place where only the priest could go in, and it was the Holy of Holies. It's where the presence of God abided. And the priest had to go through these rituals to get ceremonially clean, in other words, to become acceptable before the Lord so that they could actually go into the presence of God. And on the garments of the priest, they had these bells, these jingles, and it wasn't something that was ornate. But what it was something that if they were not acceptable before the Lord, when they went into the presence of God, if they weren't acceptable before the Lord, they would instantly die. Because righteousness and unrighteousness can't stay in the same room together. Are y'all with me? And they also had a rope tied around their leg. So when they went into the presence of God, if they died because they weren't acceptable, the other priests could pull them out. Poor dude. I don't know if I'd want that job. But I got some great news for you. We don't have to live under that old law. Jesus Christ died for us. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, when he breathed his last breath in verse 50, in verse 51, it said the veil in the temple that separated everybody else from the presence of God, check this out, it was torn from top to bottom. You know what that tells me and you? That our Heavenly Father was doing whatever it took to remove the separation between you and me and him. If it was torn from the bottom up, that meant that was our attempt. But because it was rent from top to bottom, read it. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. God went to great lengths to get you back. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil, that separation, is taken away. Wow. Then here's the last point I want to make. Jesus is the solution to our death problem. Jesus is the solution to our death problem, and we all have it. We all have it. In fact, there's a website. It's called deathclock.com. True website. You can go to it, and they ask all these questions. You know, do you skydive? Do you snort helium? All this crazy stuff, you know. And it gives you your death date. Now, of course, no one knows anyone's death date. So it's kind of a, it's, anyway, go to it today and figure it out, all right? I did mine. And I am going to live to the ripe old age, according to deathclock.com, till 2067 at 98 years old. If you gave me that on contract today, I'd sign it right now. I want to be old. I want to live long because I love life. But no one looks forward to dying. And as a consequence of the sin, we all have this problem, and it's called death. And I pray that it's going to happen a lot longer than any time sooner. Amen? But the Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. And we need a solution. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. What is a wage? A wage is what I've earned. So what I've earned on this earth is death. And what is death? Death is eternal separation from my heavenly Father. Look at this beautiful scripture in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. It said, through Adam's sin, death and hell came to all men, but another man, who, Christ, the solution, by his right act makes men free and gives them life. One guilty man brought death to us all. And eventually, one innocent man brought life to every person who would receive him. That's the key. He's already done the work. It's called the cross, and Jesus had to die. He was the only innocent person that could fulfill the law that was needed to die on that cross that day. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Jesus' death and his resurrection killed death on our part, but we have to receive it. Through Jesus, I can now be found righteous before my Heavenly Father. I can take off those stinky robes and put on Christ's robe of righteousness and be acceptable before my Heavenly Father. Through Jesus, I am no longer distant from my Heavenly Father or far away, but because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, I can now be close and up personal with my Heavenly Father. Amen. And if I breathe, I pray it doesn't happen soon. I pray it happens a long time away. When I breathe my last breath, that death problem I had has been taken care of, because when I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, he canceled out that for me. And when I stand there before my Heavenly Father, Jesus is going to walk in. He's going to say, hey, God, hey, this one right here is spoken for. I am the Lord of his life. The debt has been canceled. And God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Now, it would weaken the work of the cross for me to think that that's all he did for me. Jesus did not suffer the cross so that I could barely make it as a Christian and hold on, and not have overwhelming joy until I breathe my last breath. But no, not only did he die on the cross so that when I breathe my last breath, I can be standing with him in heaven, but he also did it from now until then, so I can, like Isaiah said, I have this overwhelming joy towards my Heavenly Father, my God. He has clothed me in his righteousness, amen? And I believe that's what someone today is going to get. You've been struggling, You've been dying on the vine. You've been questioning God. At one point in your Christianity, it meant something. So much so that no one could take it from you. But now someone probably can convince you to go another direction. Not today. It's going to change. Amen. It's going to change. Jesus is the solution to your problem. Your unrighteousness problem, your separation problem, and your death problem. Will you bow your heads with me this afternoon as we close? There's a few of you in here I want to pray with this morning. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to pray with you, and you won't even have to leave your seat. Right there where you're sitting, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Is it salvation? Maybe that's the decision you need to make today. Maybe there's separation in between you and God. At one point in your life, you were close with the Holy Spirit. You were close with God. But for whatever reason, distractions and worries of life and cares and fears and anxieties have caused you to lack trust in God, and He's not your Lord anymore. Well, today you can get it back right. I'm talking about making Jesus the Lord of your life. Getting that death problem taken care of. If that's you in here today, no one looking around, I believe there's a handful of you in here today. If that's you, why would you wait on any longer? Why would you wait to know for sure that you are saved if you were to breathe your last breath? If you're in here today and you would say, that's me, Pastor Casey. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to do two things. The first one is to raise your hand. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand around the room. Come on. Yeah, thank you. Just raise your hand around the room. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Just put your hand up. Okay. Come on, put your hand up if that's you. I need the righteousness of God in my life. I'm separated. Anybody else? Okay. Now the second step is to confess. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. And the second step to that process is to confess. And here at Key Point Church, we all do it together. I believe this is healthy for everyone. So I want everyone in this room, with those who raise their hand, let's make this our prayer as we say it out loud. Repeat the words after me. Say, Jesus Christ, I repent of my sin, and I thank you that you are the solution to my unrighteousness, my separation, and my death problem. Today I receive you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, could I ask you to quietly and reverently stand to your feet? And when you do, just keep your eyes closed. Because I believe there's a second group of you in here today, and you would say that you're dying on the vine. And you need the Holy Spirit to infuse you with fresh joy, with fresh life, to give you a new revelation of God's grace and His mercy. See, God doesn't keep our sins on a list, but one thing He does keep is our laments. Whenever we go to Him and say, God, I need you on this. I'm wrong right here. I'm hurting right here. This is painful for me right here. I promise you, He keeps a list of that. And when you begin to speak that to God, His compassion begins to boil over for you. So right now, God, as we stand here, as we reach out to you, Lord, I thank you that we don't have to be distant, but Lord, through your Son's death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, Lord, we can be made near, close to you. The veil was rent from top to bottom, and Lord, I can come into your presence today through the blood of Jesus. I can wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ as a robe, and I can be extremely proud of it. You cover me, God. And Lord, I thank you for doing something inside of each and every one of us. Rekindle that flame in our hearts, a passion for you like never before. Lord, let my love and my passion for you be more than the pain and the struggles in my life. Let that heart for you be more than anything I could ever face. And Lord, I know when that happens, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, Key Point Church, put your hands together this afternoon for Jesus. Come on, let's worship Jesus like we mean it. So the next time you actually think, which could be very soon, I don't have the answers to this problem, you need to follow that with, but I know the one who does, and his name is Jesus. And at that moment, you begin to call out to Jesus. Jesus, I need you right here. And you begin to describe what here is. And you watch his compassion begin to roll out towards you. Amen. Hey, if you raised your hand for salvation, to be made near to God, to have your death problem taken care of, please let me know about it. In the seat right there in front of you in the back, there's a conversation card. Could you take a few moments and fill that out? Let me know what took place. This is the most important part of this service, okay? People coming to Jesus Christ. So let me know about that. And we'll send you a letter. We'll let you know the next steps on how you can become a fully devoted follower of Christ. And we'll come alongside you and assist you in that, okay? We want to as a church, because I have found when you allow the church to come alongside you in your relationship with God, you will do much better, okay? So give us that opportunity, the privilege to be able to help you. You can fill that conversation card out, drop them in the little gray boxes as you leave, or bring them to guest services and start a conversation with our guest services today. Or you can go to Starting Point. Right after this service, every Sunday we have what we call Starting Point. And it's an on-ramp into Key Point Church. And we teach you what we believe, the values of Key Point Church. We begin to teach you about yourself and your gifts. And we want to encourage you to go through that. If you're new to Key Point Church or maybe never been through that, I would encourage you to start Starting Point. You can start at any time. You can enter at any Sunday. And also, if you don't go on Sundays, we have it on Thursday nights right here at 6:30. I would encourage you to be a part of that, all right? As you go today, we're going to have our altar ministry team up here. You could be 10 steps away from being prayed for, to having a word spoken over your life. Don't leave this place today if that's what you need. I would encourage you to have someone pray with you. They'll be all up here at the front. If someone's being prayed for and it's not, just wait your turn. Just be a little patient. Don't let the enemy tell you that you won't be able to get a hamburger because they'll make more hamburgers. Just be prayed for this morning, all right, if that's what you need. Our mission is to reach people to experience life in Jesus. All right? Let's go out this week and reach people. We love you. Have a fantastic week.